Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Speaking about caring, the lack of care, the cognitive dissonance employed by the South African government to distance themselves from the real emotion, from the real humanity of what is going on in Ukraine, takes real effort. You have to be pretty calculating in order to find it unmoving when a democratic country is being invaded by their neighbor. John Steenhuisen is the DA leader. He has been fighting this war, or fighting this battle, within our own parliament. How is that going, John Steenhuisen? Good morning.
Good morning, Howard. Great to be with you and great to be with all the listeners today. Well, we got some good news on this, that yesterday we were able to secure a debate of urgent public importance on the situation in Russia, Ukraine, and the effect that it's going to have on South Africa, which will be taking place in Parliament next Tuesday. I think that it's a victory to be able to get this onto the order paper and to get the South African Parliament to discuss this international situation that has occurred with the invasion by the Russian Federation of Ukraine, and particularly to try and pin the South African government down on a position, because they keep trying to portray themselves as neutral in this whole thing, but there's clearly an absolute pro-Russia stance in this particular matter.
It's impossible to claim neutrality. You can't claim neutrality when one nation attacks another and you say, well, we are neutral to it. Then you're neutral to, you know, all you're doing is not condemning the aggressor. The stance, and certainly the reaction I've seen on social media by South Africans, if they're real people, I don't even know anymore on social media what is real and what isn't and who is a bot and who is not, is absolutely staggering. And I've always had this view that, whereas I'm very, very critical of our government, I love the people of South Africa. If one thing has undermined me and that belief in the last couple of weeks, it's been a cold-hearted response to the humanitarian crisis that is happening there. What have you seen on the streets of South Africa?
Well, I certainly think that in the real world and outside of the world of bot farms, etc., which we know the Russian Federation government is a past master at aggregating on social media, I think the average South Africans are revolted by what they've seen, and the moral equivocation that the government of South Africa is trying to draw between the Ukraine and Russia. There is no moral equivocation. Ukraine did not invade Russia. Ukraine is not bombing and shelling civilians and cities in Russia. Russia has crossed an international border into a recognized sovereign state and is perpetuating war and displacing civilians into a massive refugee crisis. There is no moral equivocation between the two. It's like having an elephant standing on a mouse and then saying, well, the mouse is equally to blame. It's absolutely ridiculous. I think the majority of South Africans are revolted by it. But, of course, it hasn't stopped our government from getting involved in whataboutism. But the thing that frustrates me most is the sort of comments that you see, oh, well, we shouldn't be worrying about what's happening in Ukraine. We better worry about it, Howard, and I'll tell you why. We receive a huge amount of cooking oil, vegetable oil, wheat, and other basic staples from Ukraine. And we already have seen a jump of over 22% in the price of oil, cooking oil, from February last year to February this year. This is going to drive up the cost of these basic foodstuffs substantially for South Africans, and not to mention the impact on the fuel price. Our country is only keeping the lights on because Eskom is able to burn millions of liters of diesel. If diesel hits 40 rand a liter, I can tell you that is no longer a viable possibility. Many of the industrial processes, the manufacturers, are mitigating against load shedding by running diesel generators. They're either going to have to close their doors or they're going to have to add their costs onto their product, which will ultimately hurt the consumer. So we cannot put our head in the sand on this and pretend that South Africa is somehow immune to it. It's going to bite very, very hard deep into South Africa in the coming weeks and months, which is why our government's anodyne response is frankly not accepted, and why we think the debate is important.
The strange comment that South Africa was asked to mediate. Well, I would love to know by whom, because it doesn't really, unless we know by whom, it's kind of completely irrelevant, isn't it? Because anybody could ask anybody. It doesn't mean that they're empowered to do so. It says here, South Africa approach to mediate between Russia and Ukraine. Do we have anything to offer, and how real is this?
Well, I absolutely don't think we've got anything to offer, and I don't think South Africa is an honest broker. And I think that when you have your Minister of Defense clinking champagne glasses with the Russian ambassador on the very night of the invasion, I think it sends a very clear message that these are not honest brokers from the South African side. We saw the president yesterday made a lot on his social media about the fact that he was in a conference call with Vladimir Putin. Well, has he had a single call with the Ukrainian president? I don't think so. Or would you see him promoting a call with the Ukrainian president as much as he's done with Mr. Putin? I don't think so. The ANC have very, very clearly chosen a side in this match. And you've seen Cameron Dugmore and others coming out very, very strongly to set out South Africa's position and that they stand with Russia on this matter. How on earth do you then go into any form of brokering when you yourself are not an honest broker? I think it's absolutely farcical. It's another cop-out. And it's a typical Cyril Ramaphosa sort of sit on the fence, hold the line, pretend you are neutral, but at the same time, you know, slapping Putin on the back and saying, don't worry, buddy, we're not going to take a strong line against you.
Do you think that this call that happened and the so-called approach by some unnamed somebody that South Africa mediates, do you think that that is really just a tactical move to prepare for the debate next week within South Africa's parliament?
Of course, what South Africa is trying to do is pretend that they are this honest broker. But one, it doesn't even really need to scratch the surface very deeply. Just go and have a look at Fikile Mbalula's Twitter account. Go and look at what Mr. Dugmore has said. Go and see what the ANC and its coalition partners have been saying about Russia and where they stand on this thing. It is a thin veneer. They're essentially trying to put a cloak of respectability on the treachery and, frankly, appalling way in which they have positioned themselves and South Africa on this particular issue. Even a country notorious for its neutrality like Switzerland has absolutely put its drawn a line in the sand when it comes to the behavior of the Russian Federation. South Africa was one of 30-something countries in the world that abstained. Over 144 countries voted for the resolution at the United Nations General Assembly. And when you look at that list of people who voted against it, these are South Africa's biggest trading partners. What on earth are they going to make of South Africa's investment prospects and the like when South Africa cannot even be trusted to stand up for the rule of law, for international law, and for the sovereignty of a nation? I think it's cost South Africa in a particularly poor light and risks South Africa once again becoming the skunk of the world and the international community.
How do the other political parties within the South African context feel about this? What's been their reaction?
Well, I think it's very clear those parties that share respect for the rule of law, respect international law, have been very, very vocal about you know, speaking out against this. But I think you've also seen within parties that don't share those values, like the EFF, you know, very, very pro-Russia, pro the Communist Party, pro the Soviet Union, pro-China, etc. And I think that it is it depends on the value set of your particular party, and those that are more democratic leading and are you know, enlightened values are on the one side, and those that are autocrats and you know are really in awe of the Soviet Union and what it was, and now the Russian Federation and Putin are on the other side. So the debate's going to I believe be the receding tide, and you're going to see who's not wearing swimming trunks during the course of that debate.
One of our listeners, Jenny, saying it's one thing complaining about South Africa's foreign policy. What is the DA shadow minister doing in Durko?
Well, Darren Bergman is our shadow minister, and he has been issuing statements on this particular matter, particularly ahead of the UN debate. They've been raising it within Durko and trying to pin the minister down and setting out very clearly what the DA's position on this has been. And we've been unambiguous and unequivocal on this issue from the beginning. We've not been neutral. We've said very clearly that there is in this case a victim and there is an aggressor. Ukraine is the victim, and the aggressor is very clearly the Russian Federation. They've rolled tanks over, and that's why yesterday Alan Windey said very clearly that the legislature will not be attending any events, nor will the Russian Federation be invited to any of the legislature or government events in the Western Cape. It's why the provincial legislature lit up the legislature and the colours of Ukraine's flag, so that we can show solidarity with the people here who are under siege from a dictatorial regime set on destroying a sovereign nation.
Absolutely fascinating. We'll certainly follow that debate and see what a reaction there is. And certainly let's hope that humanity and morality finally overcomes. John Steenhuisen, DA leader, talking to us about the debate on Russia-Ukraine and why that is important. Thank you, as always.